Up there on the screen, it says Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now I want you to understand what's the word I'm trying to think of here? The impact or the power of that first part where it calls God the one or thou that hearest prayer. So, and we're going to kind of do a little teaching on prayer, all right? God taught me about prayer years ago. You think, well, I've been in church all my life, prayed all my life. But I learned some things. I really did. God just helped me with understanding the relationship that He has with us. And God is, I want you to get this now, the God that hears prayer. The God that hears prayer. Now, why did I say that? Number one, it's there in Scripture. O thou that hearest prayer. Okay? just you can show a hand or whatever. You don't have to say anything. But who in here at any time in their life ever prayed to a thing? Prayed to a tree, a rock, the sky, the stars, a statue, an idol. Okay? Guess what? They didn't hear. Okay? Thou that hear. God is the God that hears prayer. So what does that mean? That means you're the one that He's waiting to hear. You're the one that says the prayer. God is the one that hears the prayer. Here's where I'm going with this. Take a look up there on the screen. What is that? Huh? Yeah. That is a representation of the Ark of the Covenant. And what is that sitting on top of it? Caleb? No, it's not Pharaoh. It's not Isis. Well, it could be. I mean, different names, same goddess. That's the Virgin Mary. This is a Polish Catholic church in Chicago. Okay? And they're proud of it. This is the centerpiece of that church. They have a representation of the Ark of the Covenant in it, which is the throne of God and the mercy seat of God. Okay? I want you to get this. This is their understanding that Mary is the one who intercedes on your behalf and whose mercy you are calling upon. Now, just take a look at that. First of all, what do you think that she is made of? What do you think she's made of? Wood? Clay, stone? Got some gold on her? Number one, she's clothed in scarlet. That ought to tell you something. You don't understand that? Read Revelation 17. There is a woman clothed in scarlet. Okay? Whose name is Mystery. Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots. Okay? But anyway, and I'm not trying to offend. If anybody's passing by, I mean, we're out there. I mean, I made sure, that's what I went and did before we started singing. I made sure that we were on different Facebook pages so people can see it. 1900, last Sunday morning, had watched at some point, okay? There may be somebody flipping up Facebook and sees that, and because somebody's sharing it, get the hint, people online, share it, like it, okay? But anyway, and they're Roman Catholic, and I just want to tell you, I'm not trying to be hateful or mean, but I want you to think about what it is that you're doing. And I had a conversation with a lady in Dallas, Texas. She came to the convention I was speaking at. She had been watching some things I did online. She came and introduced herself. And she said, you know, Pastor, I've been watching online. I like some of the things you say. You know, there's conspiracies out there and all this stuff. She said, I want to correct you on something. I've always just kind of bite my lip and, okay, I'm listening. And she said something about, I can't remember her exact words, but turned out she was Roman Catholic, and she wanted me to kind of back down on some things I was saying about you know, praying to Mary and this and that and the other. And I said, and the whole, you know, I'm shooting flares, flare prayers to heaven. Hey, help! Give me something here. And the Holy Ghost just said, Mike, just give her the law. And I said, ma'am, here's what I want you to do. Every time you go into your Catholic church with all these, here's Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, and whoever else is in there. I want you to think now of what the law says. I said, the law, God's word said, thou shalt not make unto thee. And she cut me off. She said, I know, our priest told us that we're not supposed to pray to statues of false gods. And I went, that is not what the scripture says. And she looked puzzled. And I said, and I quoted Exodus 20, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, the likeness of anything that is in heaven or in the earth or beneath the earth. You should not bow down to it. That's what the law, and she acted like she had never heard that before in her life. In the catechism, Roman Catholic Church says, if you're going to be a member of the Roman Catholic Church, you have to recite and say you believe this. And in their catechism, they list the Ten Commandments. Commandment number 2 has been taken out, where it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. What they do is, they divide commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet, into 2 parts. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, that's 9. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to thy neighbor. That's how they do it. Is that what you were going to say, Dee? Okay.
I noticed within the past 5 years, it may have been more than that, they started to change the wording in throughout the Mass. And
really?
And they are leaning more towards Mary.
Sure they are.
And I think that's probably part of the great falling away.
It is. There is a push right now. John Paul II was part of it. There's no doubt that Francis, the Pope, I don't want to be offensive here, but there's no doubt that they're pushing toward putting 4 now in heaven. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and Mary. And her title is co-redemptrix, which means that her and Jesus are necessary to redeem mankind from their sins. They're putting her equal. I mean, my goodness, they've got her sitting on God's mercy seat. Okay? That's an abomination. Yes, ma'am, very quickly. The mother of God. Okay? That is an unbiblical statement. There is no place in the Bible. Okay? They give her the title Queen of Heaven, and all you have to do is look that up in this Bible right here, King James Bible. The Queen of Heaven is an abomination. That God said, dude, they were making cakes to the Queen of Heaven. God said, yes, an abomination. Okay. By the way, Chris Pinto, I've been in contact with him May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Bible conference right here, Bethel Church. He's coming. He sent me something. Well, I don't want to spill the beans, but I guess I will. He sent me, he took pictures. He's got the New American Bible, not the New American Standard, but the New American Bible is the Roman Catholic edition of the Bible. It's got what's that stuff in the middle? Between, somebody help me out. The Apocrypha. Thank you. It's got the Apocrypha in it and all that stuff. It's got extra chapters to the book of Daniel. And I didn't know that. But in the front of this Bible is the Catholic Church telling you, you know, about the Bible and this and that and the other. And in the forward to this Bible is a section called Forbidden Books. Guess where I'm not kidding you. Forbidden Books. And there is this priest, a Jesuit, probably writing out, these are, you know, here's some books that you need to stay away from that have been denounced as heresy by the Pope and the Holy Father and the Catholic Church and all this stuff. And the first one on the list by name was the King James Version of the Bible. First thing, I got the text. I'll show it. I'll probably PMO it. I don't know when, but anyway. And I'm not trying to beat up on people. If you're listening, I'm just telling you. There's some things that are wrong. There's a reason why I'm not a Roman Catholic. I looked at it. I looked at the Bible. They don't agree with one another. Now, We talked about this. This image is made of stone, wood, clay, whatever. This image did not come down from heaven pre-manufactured by God. Man took it, cut a tree out, carved it out, or took stone and chiseled it out, or took a mold and poured ceramic in there, or what, a clay or whatever. Or, you know, the whole thing may be made of gold. I don't know. But the idea is that man manufactured this image from dead things. It has ears. I want you to get, here's the contrast that I was getting at. God is the God that hears our prayer. We're told that in the Bible. He's the one that He has ears to hear. This idol has ears, but cannot hear. Cannot hear. But think about the number of religious activities in the world, all over the world. And most of them have a requirement of praying and reciting a prayer to a statue that has an ear and cannot hear. Open your Bible to Psalm 115. Look at there. You take, if you've got this, mark this, put big circles around this passage. That way you can flip to it one day when you need it. Okay? Or make a note somewhere. Don't tattoo it on your hand or nothing like that, but write it down somewhere, because this is good. Watch this. Psalm 115:4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. When you have an idol, you have a man-manufactured, synthetic, artificial religion. It is governed by man, controlled by man. The prayers that you pray are written, are given to you by a man. The man says, say this, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. That's part of the Hail Mary. Okay? The first part of that prayer that they pray, they got from the Scripture. Hail Mary, full of grace. That's what the Bible says. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. But then they add to it, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Number one, she was not holy. Because when she found out that she was with child, she sang a song and said that she magnified the Lord her Savior. The Bible, she said that she had a Savior. She needed a Savior. Okay? Mary was not conceived without sin. That's what their teaching is. That's why they call her holy. And the claim is that, I can't remember my facts, she either died and then ascended into heaven, or she just descended into heaven like Jesus. Is that what they say? She didn't die, she just went up. Okay? And all the other stuff. But you'll not find the doctrines that are told you in the Catholic Church. You're not going to find those in the Bible anywhere. They're not there. Okay? Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. All right? They have mouths, but they speak not. Think about it. They carve a mouth on these idols, but they don't speak. I want to tell you this. I had the video clip. I've got it somewhere on a tape in a drawer somewhere. I saw this years ago. Benny Hinn was talking with Oral Roberts back before Oral Roberts died. And Oral and Benny was talking about the beginning of Benny Hinn's ministry, and that he was preaching at this church. And there was, behind him, there was a silhouette of Jesus. I don't remember how it was, but they said that while Benny Hinn was preaching, that image was moving its mouth up and down. And they were telling everybody, oh, that's God giving you, you're speaking God's words, and here's Jesus doing that for you. That is, number one, if it's even true, it's a deception. It is a lying sign and wonder. Okay? If you want to follow signs and wonders, you go ahead. There's going to be a false prophet. There's many of them right now. There's going to be a false prophet that's going to do lying signs and wonders and lead everybody into worshiping what? The image of the beast. See how it all fits? How it all works? Okay? But they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They don't see you bowed before them, genuflecting, making your cross, sprinkling holy water on you. They don't see that. Okay? They have ears, verse 6, but they hear not. Statues, pieces of wood, rocks, the stars up above, they do not hear your prayers. Thank you up there. Anybody else want to join in? Sticks do not hear your prayers. Stones do not hear your prayers. Okay? Tree hugging. Don't you go hug a tree. Oh, I love you, tree. I love you, Mother Earth. Okay? They do not hear your prayer. And I'm not trying to be mean and bash people as much as I'm giving you the better alternative. We have a God that we cannot see. Why? Because God teaches us faith, not sight. Not the image. Not what we can see. It's what we cannot see. That's what we believe. And God has a greater alternative than a golden statue in a place that it ought not be in, that you were told that will hear your prayer. Bow to that. Pray to that. You have a better alternative. They have noses, had they, but they smell not. And what are these? And they, listen, they do it in Buddhist temples. They do it in Roman Catholic churches. They do it in shrines everywhere. There's always somebody with incense burning. And they wave in front of the statues. Here you go, statue. And that statue's got a nose, but it doesn't smell the odor. And yet we have a God who, number one, could smell the sacrifices in the Old Testament as they were offered up to Him. And He said they were a sweet-smelling savor unto Him. We have a God also that with incense that is burned in the altar in heaven, though that is offered up with the prayers of the saints. We actually have a God who does have a nose, who smells the sacrifices that were made, smells the sacrifice that you and I made, and knows about it. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you've had to give up. He knows what you've had to walk away from. He knows the opportunities that you could have had in the world that you decided you were going to go away from and lay those on the altar and say, God, this is it. I'm done. I'm over with it. You can have it. And if Jimmy Carmichael was sitting here right now, he would say, Mike, God delivered me from cigarette smoking. I mean, that was just, he loved that story. Okay? And there was a picture we had up on the screen back in his working days with a cigarette. I'm going, I've never seen Jimmy with a cigarette in his hand. That's because he gave them to God and said, here. Okay? I remember Jerry Henderson. Okay? Jerry Ann Henderson. I remember the day she come down the altar and she had her cigarettes laid out there. And Brother Sherry was the pastor. And she handed them to him and he's standing there. Like this, he's going, okay, what do I do with these? And somebody said, burn them. He said, no. Okay? But God has a nose that He can smell. Amen. Look at this, verse 7. They have hands, but they handle not. What can you give them? And they come by, and on these shrines of Mary and Joseph and Jesus and all these saints, they'll lay offerings out in front of these statues. In these pagan shrines all over Asia, people will go, and there's people who sell religious trinkets, and people will, near the temples, and people will walk by and buy these religious artifacts and then lay them on the Buddha or on the image or what, Ganesha, the elephant god, or Shiva, or whoever it is. They will lay those things on those statues for them, and they just hang there. Who do you think gets that at the end of the day? The priesthood. All that money that's thrown to all these idols, who do you think ends up with that at the end of the day? They don't have a courier sending that up to heaven. The priesthood, the religious institution, takes that. Okay? It's a setup, people. It's a setup. Ganesha, the elephant, yeah.
And so there was all this stuff around money and everything. So there was two guys in the evening just breaking it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you study the book of Acts, The people who hated Paul the most, there were two groups. Number one, the Jews, because he was a threat to their power over people by law keeping. And number two, the guys who made and sold idols. They, it's almost like they were in a guild together, a brotherhood, and they came out against Paul and they said, he's teaching that God dwells in temples made with hands, without men's hands, and that we can't see him and we don't have an image to the God that he's telling everybody to pray to. We're going to lose our living, folks. It's all about the love of money was the root of that evil. What Bible's right? Amen. They have hands, but they handle not. Which means that when you reach up to that idol for salvation, that idol just is frozen and cannot reach. And yet you have a God whose hand is extended towards you. God told Israel, I've extended my hands to you to pull you up and to save you. Okay? That's the God that you and I have. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. They carry him around. They put the big statue up on a big pedestal. Have a bunch of guys walking around carrying, this is our God now. See how powerful our God is? He's paralyzed. He can't walk, or she can't walk. That, and you've seen this on YouTube, them guys carrying that statue of Mary in that Catholic church, and all of a sudden, kabam! Everybody's going, oh no! Okay? That is not God. If the limit of your faith and trust is in a piece of wood or a rock, I don't care how pretty it looks on the outside, it is still a dead rock on the inside. If that's the limit of your trust and faith, you have nothing. And I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. I have a God who has seen the extent of my life, heard everything that I've said, came down and walked among us as men. The real one. Not even the one that's hanging on a crucifix. That is not my Savior. Okay? Anyway, they walk, they have feet, have they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They don't have a voice. Verse 8, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. You know what? You know what he's saying here? And there's like prophecy here, but the one part of this is, if you go to an idol, God's Word just told you that that idol is helpless. You approaching the idol are just as helpless as the idol is. And now there's a deeper meaning to this. Okay? Remember, and I've turned to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. And listen, y'all pray for me, lift me up, say, God bless Pastor Mike, because when you start meddling in the devil's front yard, okay, there was a house on our street when I grew up. One of my buddies lived down the road, and it just so happened, JR, that he lived on the other side of this one house. And this one house, they had the most hugest, biggest, meanest, greediest German Shepherd dog of anybody, the Boris. Okay? And that German Shepherd dog loved the taste of little kids. And I knew every time I wanted to go up to my buddy's house, either walking or riding my bicycle, it was kind of uphill. They sat at the top of the hill. So it's hard to get up enough speed riding your bicycle uphill. So when you get to that house, you want to be doing at least 50 miles an hour on a bicycle. Because he come out and chased me every single time. And I hated that dog. I can't remember what his name was. I hated that dog. But I knew every time going by there, that dog was going to come out after me. Okay? And I've been in this long enough to know. And Michael will tell you when he comes back from Kenya, every time he goes, he's going by that dog. Every time I preach on certain things, I get beat up. I get bit. Okay? So it has a tendency. The things that go through my mind sometimes. One of them was this week, Mike, you're done. You can't do this anymore. You're not healthy enough to do it. That goes through my mind. I hate that. But it's there. That's why I'm laying out on the couch in pain or whatever. That's why that's going on. Okay? Because these spirits that are behind this, they want to bite me enough to where I don't want to go back there anymore. Okay? So you think, and by the way, it's not going to be just me either. Who in here has ever been bit by them dogs? And you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's places that you know that when you're going to storm the gates of hell are not going to take it sitting down. Okay? But anyway, they that make them like unto themselves, everyone that trusteth in them. In Ezekiel 14, I want you to look at verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their what? He didn't say it in their church. He didn't say in their front yard, in a bathtub. Have you ever seen that? Married in a bathtub? They take one of them old cast iron bathtubs. And I don't know if they bury it, cut it in half or whatever. But that's the shrine. Then they put the statue of Mary in there and plant flowers. That's a... The Bible calls that the groves. The groves. And Josiah and Hezekiah and them kings like that, when they got to be king, they went and cut down groves. They said, we're not going to have that here. Okay, there's a teaching on that. I'd love to get into it. I might. But anyway, they have idols. They've set up idols in their heart. Okay? I've been to this old cathedral down here, downtown St. Louis, by the arch. I like to go, they have it open all day long. You know, if you go visit the arch or go downtown, you can go in there. And I've been in there several times and just to look around. I've never felt commanded or impressed by any of those statues in there to do what they told me to do. Never. I never went, oh my goodness, I better bow and pray before. I never was compelled to do that. But when you have an idol in your heart, that thing, look. See that Ark of the Covenant there? It was carried by four Levite priests on the earth. In heaven, it was carried by four angels, four living creatures, the Bible says. That's your heart. Your heart has four chambers in it. And the God that sits in your heart is the one who tells you what to do and you do it. Who told me to preach the gospel last Sunday morning? God did. I didn't. I didn't feel like it. I wanted to go home. God told me to preach that. I preached it. I already had one. Okay? That's because God is here. Say, Mike, do this. Okay? Do this. When you put the idols in your heart, they're there. Okay? That's an abomination. Let me go back to this. In the end times, in the last days, something is going to change mankind. It's going to alter his thoughts, his perceptions, the way he sees, the way he thinks, the way he hears, the way he smells, the way he feels. Everything about mankind is going to be augmented, changed, altered. So that mankind, just stop and think about it. All these people, let's say up here at the VFW hall, their parking lot's already filling up. Let's say in Jerusalem, they're having church there in the Catholic church where they got idols and everybody's, and they set up a new statue, a brand new idol of Jesus in Jerusalem. They got a brand new statue there and everybody there is bowed to it. What do these people in the VFW hall care? That doesn't affect them in one way, shape, or form, does it? Something that happens way on the other side of the earth, who cares, right? Not done. Watch this. Something is going to change every man, woman, and child on this planet. And the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, is not just going to be sitting in a temple somewhere on the other side of the earth. He literally is going to be in the heart of man, controlling. That, see, that verse, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Okay? It's going to change everybody to where the control of their life is going to be from within. And it's going to be in their heart. And it's going to be, Zechariah calls him the idol shepherd. I-D-O-L. Okay? Idol shepherd. Not the Lord is my shepherd. The idol one. Okay? When these idols, and you read Ezekiel 14 and you read how God dealt with it, you'll see God said they've got idols in their heart, which means they're coming here to ask me what I, you know, to get words from me. And God said, I'm going to answer them according to the amount of idols that are in their heart. In other words, if that's going to be their religion, fine. I'm not going to talk them out of it. The things that they think are coming from me are going to be lies, but they're not going to be coming from me. But they're going to believe things that are not true. And who in here knows somebody that bows to idols? I don't care what religion it is. And you've tried to talk to them about it or whatever, and they just like... See what happens? They pray to idols that can't hear. So when you try to talk to them about it, they can't hear you. And if you said they can't hear you, I didn't hear you because I had...